going on, everybody? Happy Halloween! Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets powered by FTN. I'm your host, Chris Meany. Thanks, as always, for taking the time to hang out. If you're watching or listening on this Saturday, well, happy Halloween to you and to yours. Hopefully you guys did a much better job of dressing up than I did. I really dropped the ball there, didn't I? No fun, Meany. Yikes. I cut the hair. I'm rocking a collared shirt. I've yet to wear a pants on this show. I'm just taking it one step at a time, so bear with me. Lots to get to today. If you are just, maybe you're waking up on this Sunday morning and you're feeling a little groggy. Maybe you had too many pumpkin spice rums last night or too many of your kids' chocolate bars. Sit back, relax. A lot to get to today. There's a ton of just news and notes and injuries as we head into week 8 of the NFL season. I got a few buy low, sell high candidates, players that I feel like should be stashed. I scanned the waiver wire in Yahoo, ESPN, Fantrax, CBS leagues, and there's several people out there that I just feel like should be rostered as we're past the halfway point of the fantasy football regular season. Week 14 is fantasy football playoff time, and we're into week 8 already. So I know you've heard this before, crunch time. It is the best time of the year to sell high, buy low. You know, if you're sitting pretty in your standings, you can, you know, take a shot on certain players and you can take advantage of certain teams that need wins this week. So we'll touch on a few of those players. I hosted chat over at ftnfantasy.com. And if you're not subscribed, you can subscribe using that promo code Meany. We'll get you a discount. And it's just, not just me answering questions. We have, you know, Brad Evans, Jeff Ratcliffe, Derek Brown, Adam Pfeiffer. There's a lot of guys who are just hanging out in the chat all the time. But I take the Thursday afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern, to really address some of the start and sit questions heading into the week. Players that guys are unsure about, and I've just had the same few players, so I wanted to address those players with you guys today. Just quickly have a few picks, props, DFS plays, a few more eyes and ears on this show lately. I think last week was a good week, 13-3, 21-7 overall on the show in terms of picks and props and spreads and over unders and parlays. Probably not going to happen again, let's be honest. And I know what you're thinking, Atlanta Falcons fans, no lead is safe. I told you before at the start of the show, I'm just hopefully here to provide a distraction. This is a multi-sport show for those that are just new to the show, and I will have some picks and some props and hopefully just provide a few winners for you, help pay the bills. Saw some screenshots last week. Couldn't be more happier to see that and to see that, you know, FTN Nation having some success. So like I said, if you're new to the show, welcome. Thanks so much for taking the time to hang out. I appreciate you taking a shot on me here today. If you could rate, review, subscribe, wherever it is that you are listening, Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spreaker. If you're watching on our FTN YouTube page, awesome. That's what I'm here for. That's what I want. If you can subscribe, hit that like button, leave a comment in the section, maybe a player I didn't talk about that you really wanted me to get to and I couldn't, maybe a start and sit question. Feel free to leave a question there. I will address it. And if you're looking at a long-term player, what I do with this guy or this player in a trade, leave it there and I can address it on this show on Monday if you want as well. So I will say, just to continue to rate, review, subscribe, as I mentioned. And if you haven't done this yet, send a screenshot over to meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. I will be giving away a few things next week. A new sponsor on this show, going to be giving away a couple new toys that you may like. So I want you to be part of the draw. And everyone who's already done that, I appreciate it. I have your name on standby. You will be into the draw, so you don't need to do that again. So just screenshot showing me that you've subscribed. Give 5 stars. Leave a comment. It'll help this show a lot. It'll help you get the show quicker. And it'll help FTN, you know, wanting to keep me around potentially, right? So screenshot over to meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. All right, with all that out of the way, this is episode 7. There's a lot of different athletes I could dedicate this episode to. A lot of just really good quarterbacks. John Elway, 2 Super Bowls, could play quarterback, can't draft him. Big Ben, current number 7 in the NFL, just doesn't seem like a great guy. No hard feelings, Steelers fan, so not going to dedicate that to him. Joe Theismann, could dedicate this episode to him. A lot of former Eagle quarterbacks, Randall Cunningham, Michael Vick, Jeff Garcia, recently in the news this past week, taking shots at Cam Newton, not for his poor play on the field, not for getting a negative fantasy point showing in week 7 of the football season, just for how he dressed. Just felt like he needed to give a low blow for how Cam dressed. Can't complete a pass because he was dressed differently. Give your head a shake, Jeff Garcia. I can't even believe he's an analyst. I can't even take that guy serious. I already spent way too much time on Jeff Garcia, but I just didn't like it. I thought it was a low blow. You dress how you want to dress, Cam, and anybody out there watching or listening. Cristiano Ronaldo, one of the best athletes, current athletes, and one of the better soccer players of all time. Respect a lot of what he does on the pitch and even some good things off the pitch, but won't be dedicating this episode to him. Ted Lindsay, Phil Esposito, Tim Horton, few hockey greats. Brady Tkachuk, current number seven. Not a lot of current number sevens in the NHL. I think TJ Brody with the Flames. Not sure what number he's going to rock with the Leafs. Paul Coffey. Little Paul Coffey story before we get into week eight of the NFL here. I met Paul Coffey when I was a kid. I got his autograph. This is an, oh, I got Paul Coffey's autograph. He's actually a little bit of a douche, not going to lie. There was a kid younger than me. This was back in the day. He was playing for the Hurricanes. And he had a Detroit Red Wings hat that he wanted to get signed. I think his dad may have had a Red Wings hat as well. And he said to the kid, no, sorry, no Detroit. Won't sign Detroit. And he moved on. The kid just immediately started to tear up and cry. I was young at the age too. I'll never forget it. I felt so bad for him. And just Paul Coffey to say that, I don't care like how the relationship with the Red Wings ended, bad blood there or not, to turn down a kid is just, it was disheartening. And it bothers me to this day. And especially now that I'm a little bit older and I see kids all the time at, you know, at sporting events. And I've had the chance to meet Mike Trout a couple times and just what he does with kids and just, it makes their day. And it made my day getting that autograph. And then it just, everything after that, I kind of felt just awful and that he wouldn't sign that kid's Detroit hat. So we'll not dedicate this episode to you. Kyle Lowry for my Raptor fans out there. Jermaine O'Neal for my old school basketball fans out there. I have an Indiana Pacers Jermaine O'Neal jersey number 7. Can't believe I ever bought that. But we'll dedicate this episode to Mickey Mantle, right? 20 All-Star appearances, 3 AL MVPs, a Triple Crown winner, 7-time World Series champ. And George Costanza wanted to name his kid after Mickey Mantle. 7. So we will dedicate this episode to Mr. Mickey Mantle. So I've wasted 7 minutes of your time. Hopefully you've screenshotted and sent that over to meanstreetsftn@gmail.com over that span. And now let's get into the real stuff, okay? Let's start with the Week 8 news and notes. There's a lot to get to, so I'll roll through some of it here pretty quickly. Aaron Jones is out again. Jamal Williams, dial him up. Let's just take a sneak peek over at my rankings, which you can get my rankings, Jeff Ratcliffe, D-Bro, Noonan. We have Brad Evans in there as well. Got to get that platinum package, people. Meanie is the discount. Where do I have Jamal Williams? RB10. I got him as a low-end RB1. I think what we saw from him last week, we can get a similar usage. 24 opportunities was among the leaders for week 7. 19 carries, 77 yards, 1 touchdown, 5 targets, 4 grabs, 37 yards. A little bit more play maybe from A.J. Dillon. Played 14 snaps, had 5 carries. I think he should be rostered in deeper leagues. Of course, you own him in keeper leagues and dynasty leagues, I would hope. But, you know, just looking over at our splits tools and a lot of just fantastic tools over at FTN. But you see this split tool. And from 2018 to 2020, you see the games with Aaron Jones in the lineup. And you see the games without Aaron Jones. And you see the carries go from 6 to 14 per average, as you see there on the bottom. Rushing yards, 26 to 56. You see the yards per carry. You see the receiving yards, 15 to 25. You see the DraftKings points basically double. The FanDuel points doubled as well. And, you know, the snap counts from 26 to 52. So this is going to be pretty much his backfield there. I think if you have Jamal Williams, you can dial him up again. If you have Aaron Jones, I know it's a big bummer, but you don't want to rush him. You want to have Aaron Jones for the stretch run here, fantasy football playoff time. Joe Mixon also out foot, so I'll bring up the split tool again. Derek Brown does a phenomenal article each week just taking a look at the split tool and just really dissecting, you know, certain players that stand out, right? So here we go with Giovanni Bernard, you know, up against the Titans. And last week, 13 for 37, 5 catches for 59 yards, had a touchdown in there, 18 opportunities. So lots of action, or 18 touches rather, lots of action from him. And you see, again, the splits without Joe Mixon over the last 3 years. A small sample size, but you see the rushing attempts, really 10 more with Joe Mixon out of the lineup. The rushing yards, 14 to 51. The receiving yards, 17 to 38. And that's where I see him being a big player this week against the Titans, because The Bengals are missing three pieces off their O-line. Left tackle Jonah Williams, center Trey Hopkins, and right tackle Bobby Hart. All going to be out. So that's going to be tough. I feel like Joe Burrow's going to, another game where he's going to drop back and throw the ball about 40 plus times. And Gio can get a few of those catches. So I'll give you another sneak peek because you're hanging out. You're taking the time to hang out with me today. I got Giovanni Bernard as RB15 right behind Miles Gaskin, James Conner, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Boston Scott, Jamal Williams. I got him ahead of Daryl Henderson, Melvin Gordon, Dave Montgomery. I think that's a decent spot for him. You know, honestly, I don't love him. I'm not a huge fan of him in DFS, but, you know, you have him. He's a nice replacement for Joe Mixon for sure. Again, a shout out to Derek Brown for those split tools. Check out all of Derek's work. He's phenomenal. Chris Carson, foot. Carlos Hyde, hamstring. Travis Homer, knee. All doubtful for this game. So DJ Dallas, let's head to the rankings one more time. I got him inside the top 30. I think Russ is just going to cook. He's going to throw the ball a lot. You know, I think DJ Dallas could end up with 13, 14 touches. Easily, if all those running backs are out, this is pretty much going to be his backfield. Penny is not ready to return yet, and I don't imagine any of these guys are going to play. So, you know, DJ Dallas could get about 10 carries, 10 to 12 carries, maybe catch a few balls out of the backfield. He could be very interesting and sneaky in the DFS community here this weekend. I think, you know, you dial him up, you play him, right? Because this is a high total game against San Fran. Probably going to be a lot of points scored. If he gets a red zone opportunity, maybe he gets one in there and he comes away, you know, with a top 24 performance. So I will be updating my rankings on Sunday morning, but I think I'll have him right around the mid-20s if those Seattle backs are indeed ruled out. Miles Sanders out, so another week of Boston Scott. I have him as a low-end RB1. He had the 12 carries, 46 yards, then caught a few balls for another 46 yards. So this is just a great matchup. Philly heavily favored in getting healthy as they play the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday night. Jeff Wilson, ankle out. Tevin Coleman, knee questionable. They're hopeful that he can return. I think that this is going to be Jamichael Hasty's backfield, especially if there's no Coleman. If Coleman does play, you know, how much usage is he going to get? A handful of touches. I will say that he knows the offense pretty well. For those who thought it was going to be a Hasty week last week, myself included, until Jeff Wilson was active, and then Wilson just really took over, and he was RB1 for the week. He knew the playbook, had been around Shanahan in this offense for a couple years. So Hasty, two straight weeks filling in for an injured back, 9 for 57 last week, 1 catch for 16. If Coleman doesn't play, I think he can really dial up Hasty. I'm not interested in Jerick McKinnon at all. I think maybe a couple catches in this game if Coleman doesn't play, but some reports he has tired legs. You saw very, very minimal usage out of him last week. And, you know, Shanahan said after the game, thanks for telling us that, by the way, Shanahan, after the game, that he was just giving him a break. You know, McKinnon had filled in for the first couple games with some injured players, and he'd been away from the game of football for a couple years with multiple knee injuries. So, again, tune in Sunday morning. If there's no Coleman, I'm going to really like Hasty. I'm starting him as I don't really have much of a choice, but as a, you know, top 30 running back, definitely in standard half-point settings, I like him a lot more over there, although I do think he can catch a few passes. Philip Lindsay, concussion. Looks like he's going to be able to play this week. I thought, you know, it's still going to be a Melvin Gordon revenge game, but I think, honestly, Lindsay has looked better than Melvin Gordon. So I like Lindsay. I think he's a decent flex play. Mark Ingram, rather, ankle injury. He's doubtful. Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. If I had to choose one, it's going to be J.K. Dobbins. I think there's a little bit more upside. He can catch some passes. I think Baltimore really shows their true cards when Gus Edwards is on the field, that he's not really going to be a back that catches passes. And I think with J.K. Dobbins, he can run between the tackles. He can catch a couple passes. So I like Dobbins a little bit more, but honestly, it's not a great spot. It's not a good matchup. I wouldn't play either of these guys in DFS against the Steelers. If you're looking to be ultra contrarian, it would be Dobbins for me, but I think Edwards probably gets the goal line work. So it is confusing, but both of these guys should certainly be rostered. Devonta Freeman, I don't think he's going to play. Ankle injury questionable. Wayne Gallman, you could have picked him up off waivers. I thought last week against Philly, he looked fresher. He ran with a purpose, caught 5 passes. This is a very, very tough matchup against Tampa Bay. I think I have him ranked outside the top 30. Yeah, I do. Closer to mid-30s. I just don't like him this week. I'd play Hasty over him. I'd play DJ Dallas over him. I think you can do better. Frank Gore looking like he's not going to play LaMichael Perine. I would play LaMichael Perine over Gallman as well. Talked about Perine in episode 6. Just a guy that I think should be stashed. I look at Bilal Powell in this Jets offense. Not this Jets offense. Similar, they still stunk back in the day with Powell. But, you know, he was a decent flex guy. Somebody who could catch, three or four passes. I think, this game against the Chiefs, he may just get three or four catches. Dalvin Cook looks like he's going to return. You just dial him up with confidence. You play your studs. Michael Thomas, as we head over to the wide receivers. Jeez, it took me a couple minutes just to get through all those running backs. Michael Thomas, not going to play again. Need you, MT. Come on, bud. Hamstring, ankle injury. It's been a frustrating season for Michael Thomas and for the Saints, really, not having him in the lineup, and for Thomas owners. Marquez Callaway, who showed up last week, is out with an ankle injury. And still no Emmanuel Sanders. So Tre'Quan Smith, I said this last week, don't love him. Ranked him in the mid-30s, just really out of respect. Don't like this matchup against the Bears. This is Drew Brees' first road game outdoors. And you know the splits are for real with Drew Brees. So I have some respect for the Bears' defense. You know, you could play him as a flex, but there's a lot more wide receivers that I like. A lot of wide receivers that I like more. That's a better sentence I could form. Scott Miller is one of them with Chris Godwin out. Remember when Chris Godwin missed a couple weeks ago? It was Tyler Johnson who had a decent game. Bradbury going to be on Evans, so that's why I like Miller. Miller's had a couple of blow-up games, and he's had a couple quiet games, but I like him this week against the Giants, and then maybe Tyler Johnson if you're in one of those deep, deep, deep leagues. Allen Robinson was looking doubtful, and now he's going to play. So that's great news for Allen Robinson owners. Phenomenal stuff there. You just play him. I know it's frustrating. The Bears can't do a lot. You just play him. Player stud. He's a low-end wide receiver one, a high-end wide receiver two. Jamison Crowder and Rashad Perriman. Looks like both of those guys are going to be out. Denzel Mims time. Talked about him, I think, the last couple episodes, especially episode number 6. I like him. I mean, he got the 4 balls last week. Tre'Davious White was on him in the second half. And it's just going to get a lot of work. Has to get a lot of targets, doesn't he? Because the Chiefs are 20-point favorites here. So if they're going to score some points, which they will, I'd be shocked if they didn't get to 30. Sam Darnold's going to have to throw, and he's back under center. So I like Denzel Mims. Julian Edelman, N'Keal Harry, both out. Jacoby Myers, I guess, if you're in a pinch. Julian Edelman was placed on IR. Bill Belichick says he expects him to return at some point this season. You just drop him, you cut him. N'Keal Harry, he's dealing with a concussion. You drop him, you cut him. Looking at our free tool over at ftndaily.com/airyards. You can check that out. This is over the last 3 weeks, rather. Jacoby Myers, 128 air yards, leads the team. It doesn't say much because Damir Bird is next with 101, but the ADOT is 21 for Myers. That's significant, really, in the whole grand scheme of things, looking at all ADOT leaders in the NFL. And then his target percentage over the last 3 weeks is 27%, and his team air yards, 68%. That is off the charts high, and I don't know if it's going to get lower because Cam doesn't have a lot of options to throw the ball to here, and he's going to be without his top corner in Stephon Gilmore, so the Bills are going to score points. They can't just run the ball with Damon Harris, and maybe there's a few checkdowns with James White and Rex Burkhead, but in all honesty, Jacoby Myers could come away with double-digit targets in this game. I may consider him in DFS. He's pretty cheap. You could be in a tough spot at wide receiver this week. So Jacoby Myers is pretty interesting. I'd at least pick him up and stash him. You don't have to start him. Deebo Samuel, hamstring, he is out. Fire up Brandon Ayuk in a good spot. Tim Patrick, dealing with a hamstring injury, is doubtful. KJ Hamler in deeper formats. I've went down this road before and have been disappointed. Jerry Jeudy is going to get a lot of attention, but with no Patrick, maybe a few more catches for KJ Hamler. Sammy Watkins, hamstring out. Devontae Parker, groin in. Jalen Reagor, talked about him for a couple episodes now. He is in. It's good news for Philly. John Brown in. Austin Hooper out. Harrison Bryant, David Njoku, said I liked Bryant more last week. Both guys found the end zone last week. Bryant's just playing more snaps, running more routes. 2 touchdowns last week. I have him as a top 15 tight end. Tyler Higbee, hand questionable. I don't have any Higbee, so I can't really speak for anybody, but I think I'd maybe just move on if he didn't play this week. Just have Gerald Everett on standby. If Higbee doesn't play, you can plug in Everett. I like Bryant more than Higbee, even if Higbee does play, but you got to look like Hooper is going to come back eventually. So it's probably just a short-term ad for Bryant, right? Hooper is going to be the number one tight end there, even though they do run a lot of 12 and use a lot of tight ends and run the football there. But you may just have to find another option. Higbee looking like a bust. Dallas Goedert is going to return for the Philadelphia Eagles, so that's the end of Richard Rodgers. If Higbee doesn't play and you can't get Everett and Harrison Bryant, I still think Rodgers is probably a low-end tight end too, so a top 20 tight end. I'm not sure if Goddard is going to be on a pitch count, but I have him ranked as a top seven tight end this week. So I'm playing him with confidence. Basically playing him over, obviously, all the studs. Take another peek here at my tight end rankings. I think I have him just ahead of Hockenson. I'm fine with you playing Hockenson if you want to play Hockenson. Obviously, not as much risk. There was a question, which I'll get to later. I can just touch on it now. Is Goddard or Fan? I'm going to play Goddard. And I would play Jonnu Smith and then Gronk over him. And then, of course, all the studs, you know, Kittle, Kelce, Waller, and Andrews. So that's good news. Been talking about Goddard as a stash. Still widely available in leagues. Pick him up. Rock him. Got the bye next week. Eagles got a great schedule after that. Andy Dalton is out. So Ben DiNucci time for the Dallas Cowboys. Let's move on. Buy low, sell high. As I said, I host this chat, FTN Fantasy, on Tuesday, or Thursday rather, 2 p.m. Eastern. We've been getting a lot of the same questions here, so I want to bring up these players. Ezekiel Elliott, Josh Jacobs, Chase Edmonds, Leonard Fournette, and DJ Chark. So obviously you're not dropping, at least the first four, you're not dropping, right? You're not going to drop Zeke. But what I've seen from several analysts that I respect over the past couple weeks, because I keep an eye on everything, in the fantasy community, of course. And I've gotten a lot of questions. What do I do with Zeke? Do I trade Zeke? What can I possibly get for Zeke in Dynasty? I'm seeing a lot of people say sell, 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 sell. I disagree. I think that this is a bad time to sell Ezekiel Elliott. I think that his value, his stock is at an all-time low. And unless you're getting a stud in return, which you're probably not, maybe you can package Zeke and somebody for CMC or Michael Thomas. I doubt it, but maybe it's something that you could potentially do. I'm not just going to settle for sell Zeke for Ronald Jones or sell Zeke for Leonard Fournette or sell Zeke for, I don't know, an average wide receiver. Like, I'm not just going to give him away. There's no chance. You're not going to get proper value for him. No, we can't treat him like a top five running back anymore. I still think we can treat him as a low-end RB1 or a rock-solid RB2. I mean, the landscape of the running back position is soft. 54 yards or fewer in four of his past five games, 65 rushing yards per game, lowest of his career, and guess what? He's still RB3 in a full-point PPR setting. So if that's enough, maybe you can just sell him on that. Hey, he's still RB3 as much as he sucks. He's still a top five running back, so maybe you can sell him on that alone. There's some holes in the offensive line. Yes, there's some concerns. Philly this week, Pittsburgh to follow. Not great. Then the bye in there as well. Washington, Baltimore, Cincinnati. It's not bad. Cincinnati week 14. Baltimore before that is a little tough. But I think that that's a buy low window there. He has been brutal over the past couple weeks and not the Zeke that we expected, but still RB3, as I mentioned. So I'm viewing him as a buy low candidate. I think it's an opportunity maybe to get Zeke. Now, if you're on the outside looking in of the fantasy football playoffs, then no, you don't want Zeke. But if you're up near the top and you've been rolling Mike Davis and you've just been patching the running back position up with Joe Mixon and then Jamal Williams and Boston Scott, then you probably need Zeke. You probably could use Zeke. You could probably get him pretty cheap. So I'm in the mindset that you should acquire him. I think Andy Dalton's going to come back at some point. And their only game together, he had 11 targets and 8 grabs. It's pretty valuable in a PPR setting. So I'm in the mindset of acquiring Zeke. But I will say that I am slightly concerned. Do it if you're up near the top of the standings. You can afford to take that risk. Dynasty leagues, I think there's a buy low window, even though I like wide receivers more in dynasty leagues than running backs. Short shelf life. I don't like to acquire, spend capital to acquire running backs of Zeke stature, but I'm telling you right now, when I get these questions for Zeke, what do I do with Zeke? I'll basically take anything for Zeke. I think that's a buy low opportunity right there. Josh Jacobs, 17 yards on 10 carries last week against the Bucks. Jacobs has been held to single-digit fantasy points in three of his past four games. Got the Browns this week, not a great matchup. But after that, it starts to open up. The Chargers, Broncos, Chiefs, Falcons, and Jets to come. Falcons and Jets when it really matters for Josh Jacobs. And despite 10 carries last week, 116 rushing attempts, on the season, ranks fifth behind Kenyon Drake, who Drake will miss a couple weeks. So I think there's a buy low opportunity for Jacobs as well. He's just he's a workhorse. When they're down in games, it's not good for him. But as I said, a couple of these games, I think the Raiders will be very much in, and he'll get a lot of usage. And I think, you know, you do it now before this week. And if you can't do it now, then, you know, it may not be a big blow-up game for him against the Browns. So if it's not, I think don't be discouraged. Hold and acquire where you can. Chase Edmonds, I'm sure you're surprised on this list because I've been talking about him since August. I absolutely love Chase Edmonds. I think he's the better running back than Kenyon Drake. And I think most people think that as well. And, you know, we'll probably see it over these next couple weeks. But I always be remorse if I didn't say this, because I always say this. Make buzzy and trendy players always available in your league. Always make them available. See what you can get. I'm not saying you have to trade him, but just see what you can get for Chase Edmonds. I view him as a low-end RB1 while Drake misses time. Rest of the season, I have him ranked as a top 14 running back because I don't know if Drake is going to get his job back because I think Chase Edmonds is just going to be that good. Nobody's run more routes out of him in the slot. Saw last week in just a limited sample playing just over 50% of the snaps, caught 7 passes, over 20 fantasy points, RB5 for the week, 5 for 58, 65 receiving yards. I just think he's a stud. 3 double-digit fantasy point games already. I thought he was a stud last year. I have 90% of Chase Edmonds, and you could be in a situation where you need him and he's your starter. You're not going to think about him. That's most of my leagues. I needed him, and I'm happy to have him over these next few weeks. Or if you just drafted great, he's your RB4. So you could rock him if you want and sell somebody else. Or right now, while his value is at an all-time high, I don't know if it'll get higher than this, than it is right now. Or maybe coming into week 9 out of the bye when you start to see people in the industry rank him as a top 10 running back. So whatever you can do to help the balance of your squad, trading him for a wide receiver, I think you just need to flirt with that idea. Leonard Fournette, RB42 on the season. Last week he returned, had 7 targets, 11 carries for 50 yards, 47 receiving yards on the 6 grabs. He's just a year removed from 70-plus catches. I think he could be the goal line back in this offense, the short yardage back, and Bruce Arians says his quote-unquote nickel running back in passing down situations, whether you believe that or not. I think he has some value in full point settings. I have him ranked just slightly ahead of Ronald Jones this week. I think it's going to be a little bit of a headache backfield. I think both of these guys, you know, Arians could ride the hot hand. And last week, Jones had more carries than him, 13, 6 more carries, but 16 fewer yards, only caught the 1 pass for the 2 yards, but did have the touchdown. Giants, Saints, Panthers, Rams, KC on the schedule. A couple games could be high tempo. I like Fournette more than Jones the rest of the year, and I think that the Tampa Bay Bucs do as well. I mean, they signed him for a reason. Jones was awesome for 3 straight games, and then all of a sudden, Fournette just steps in and looked like the better back and got a lot of the work through the air that Jones was getting. So that just tells me that they really like him. The last guy on this list is DJ Chark. DJ Chark's been pretty frustrating for sure. 21 targets the last 2 games and only 8 catches for his 70. Only 8 catches. DJ Chark only has 8 catches for 71 yards. My goodness. What are you going to do? He's got a bye this week, and after the bye, he's got Houston, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Minnesota, and Tennessee. I think you hold. I think you have an opportunity to buy low. I don't view him as a wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3 anymore, like 3 at best. He's a flex. I like the schedule coming up after the bye. Like I said, Houston, Green Bay, those are Pittsburgh. You can throw Cleveland, Minnesota, Tennessee. Like, that's honestly as good as it gets. You can throw on all of those teams. Those are prime matchups for wide receivers. We could get the switch at quarterback. Gardner Minshew dealing with a thumb injury. 6.9 passing yards per attempt is near the bottom of the NFL. 65 completion percentage. He's top 5 in passing yards. The Jags are going to have to pass to catch up to teams because they're just going to give up a lot of points. So I think you look at your schedule weeks to come. Where do you need a bye week replacement? I think, you know, you would have a hard time picking up guys off the waiver wire that would get this kind of volume that DJ Chark would get. So if you have a banged up squad, you're looking ahead at week 12, week 13, who are you going to plug in there? You have Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, you got the Bucks on bye, Carolina's on bye, DJ Moore. Where was DJ Moore, by the way, on Thursday night? Finally, Teddy Bridgewater found him in the 4th quarter a little bit too late. But to some of those guys, Robbie Anderson, you just need to look ahead. At this time of the year, you really need to look ahead, plan out your bye weeks, where you need a guy. So if you view him as a flex, wide receiver 4, then I think you can get him for cheap. I think he could be had. And who knows, if the quarterback switch does happen, you know, I don't think it can get any worse. I still think he's going to get a ton of volume. So quickly, before we get into some picks, some props, some DFS plays, these are a few guys that I've noticed are owned in fewer than 50% of leagues. We got Zach Moss there, RB63. We have Jalen Reagor, wide receiver 127. Henry Ruggs, wide receiver 90. Preston Williams, wide receiver 60. And then Denzel Mims, wide receiver 46, owned in 6% of Yahoo leagues. I think I may have spent way too much money on him in one of my leagues. I don't know. I like him, and I guess other people are snoozing. Nonetheless, I got him. It is what it is. Let's start with Moss. Last week, started to get some play in the second half against the Jets. 7 for 47, caught 3 passes for 25 yards. A lot more run in the second half, as I mentioned, 45% of the snaps. Singletary, 55% of the snaps, 8 for 29, caught 2 passes for 18 yards. Earlier in the season, Moss was getting some red zone opportunities, caught a pass, a red zone touchdown that he had. I think he's a true first down, second down back, going to get the early down work, goal line guy. I don't view Singletary as that type of back, and I know Josh Allen likes to run, call his own number, especially inside the red zone, throwing more than ever inside the red zone. But I think, you know, Buffalo is one of those teams that may lean on the run as we get into the, you know, the November, December months, and a little bit chillier and colder, and just lean on the run game and start to see some sloppy weather in Buffalo. That's not really the reason I like Moss. I just think it's part of the reason I like him. I just think he's a good back. I liked him more than Singletary heading into this season. I've been wrong so far, but he also hasn't been healthy. So I think he's going to start to, I think it's going to be this week, honestly. I think the Bills, this is a statement game. I think they crush the Pats. And they lean on Zach Moss here in this matchup. Jalen Reagor, got to get him right now, immediately. Been talking about him for a couple weeks. Dallas this week, then the bye. Giants, Cleveland, Seattle, Green Bay, New Orleans, Arizona, and Dallas. That's awesome, Matt. Those are awesome, awesome matchups. Green Bay and New Orleans may not seem like it, but those teams are going to score points. Going to be a shootout. 96 yards in his first two games, 5 grabs on 8 targets. Had the 55-yard reception in week one, which is Carson Wentz's longest reception in over 2 years. So it just goes to show they've been just dying for a deep threat in this offense. Wentz leads the NFL in air yards. He's top 4 in average depth of target. All of that benefits a guy like Jalen Reagor. Henry Ruggs, another rookie who's been pretty much disappointing this season, only has 8 catches for 212 yards. He leads all Vegas wideouts in air yards with 280. His ADOT is 20, so significant there. Has a team high 31.75% of his team's air yards despite missing time with an injury. We'll touch on him in a little bit more because I like him this week, but after Cleveland, got the Chargers, Broncos, KC, Atlanta, and the Jets. Really looking at that KC matchup. Vegas already beat them once this year. They already proved they can score points on them. And then Atlanta and the Jets, it's unbelievable. Running a lot of routes out of the slot, but also a deep threat guy there. Henry Ruggs could be had in the fantasy community and probably maybe even available. Wouldn't go as far as grabbing him in 8 or 10 team leagues, but 12 team leagues for sure. I think you can start him this week. And then we have Preston Williams, wide receiver 60. I've been down this road before. If you've been watching, don't need to spend too much time on Preston Williams. We have Tua's debut this week against a very tough Rams defense. I don't know how much success he'll have, but if he does decide to really pepper Preston Williams, it'll be too late to get Preston Williams. You'll have to spend a bunch of your fab or spend that top waiver wire claim on him. Just get him now before it's too late. I believe Miami is going to run their offense very similar to maybe a few plays, install a few plays that, you know, Tua had in Alabama, whether that's some RPOs, run pass options, you know, quick timing routes with Devontae Parker, or just vertical shots down the field with Preston Williams. Williams could be Tua's guy. It easily could be Tua's guy. I liked Williams coming into this season. Last year, I played half the year, and by the time he went down to week 9, he'd led all rookies in targets and yards. He'd led Miami in red zone opportunities. He's got touchdowns in back-to-back games, 3 of the last 4. You just look overall at some of his numbers. And he leads the team with a 15.04 ADOT, 376 air yards, just 8 behind Parker for the team lead. But over the last 4 weeks, Williams, a team high at 212 air yards, 27% of his team's air yards, and a 19.27 ADOT. Let's keep in mind he was coming off a significant knee injury. No true real camp preseason. So just taking some time to get going, coming off the bye. I'm sure he's feeling fresh as he's felt all year. I like Preston Williams. I like him a lot. I like the matchups, too. Cardinals, Chargers, Broncos, Jets, Bengals, and Chiefs. Week 14. Then Denzel Mims. Just really nobody there. Crowder, Perriman out. Jets stink. Like him, though. 6'3", 207. Can get after it. Got some speed. More on Mims in just a little bit. But I think he should be rostered. I would play him this week. I think he could get double-digit targets against the Chiefs. Chiefs are going to score points. Before we get to some picks and some props, we get to the halfway point of the show, and with the new sponsor, Pristine Auction. Need everybody to check out pristineauction.com. This is some fantastic. If you're a sports collector, this is the site for you. They have daily auctions, $1 starting bids on over 1,000 items. They have signed helmets, balls, jerseys, and more. I'm really feeling Kyler Murray. I get this man crush on Kyler Murray, probably because I have him in a lot of fantasy leagues, but man, he's just so fun to watch. So I've been watching here today. I'm bidding on a Kyler Murray autographed helmet. Hopefully I can get it and I can put it on the shelf behind me. And they just have over 8,000 football items in their auctions at all times. Authenticity is guaranteed on all products. And if you use the code FTN, you'll get $10 off your first invoice. So check out PristineAuction.com. And what I'll do on this show over the next couple episodes is I'll bid on something myself and I'll give it away to one of you guys. So I need you guys to just rate, review, subscribe, continue to do that. Show me that you've done that. Send that over to meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. Let's get those subscriptions up and then I'll be able to give away something. And I'll do that a couple of times here. We still have a few weeks left in the season. So I will do that. And it's not just football, but there's a ton of just amazing football stuff over there. So shout out Pristine Auction. Use that promo code FTN. All right, let's get to some picks, some props. As I said, it was a solid week last week. As you see there, 22-7 overall, up 18 units. I'm up nearly 30 units overall over at FTNbets.com. You can use the promo code MEANIE to get all of my picks, all of my props. One for one heading into the week. I was on the DJ Moore over, if you didn't hear it in the tone of my voice, from not getting that over. But I had the Julio Jones over 5.5 catches. I'm pretty sure we had that in the first quarter, just maybe on the first drive. That prop was just too low. So this is what I'm thinking here this week. Let's start with the props. And I got Le'Veon Bell there, over 35 rushing yards and anytime touchdown is plus 120 over at FanDuel. I saw it at 33. This one could push up to maybe 40, 45 in some spots. Use our prop shop and you can get the best odds possible at all the sports books over at ftnbets.com. So yeah, it has a little bit to do with revenge, but honestly, not that much because Casey's 20-point favorites here. I thought Bell, you know, I'm hearing a lot of people say he only had 33% of the snaps. It's pretty good. 33% of the snaps in his first game with the team, with no practice really, is pretty darn good, in my opinion. The 20-point favorites, they were playing some backups last week. They may play some backups this week if they get up big. I think Bell gets 35 rushing yards. He had a ton of rushing attempts with the Jets, and he never once eclipsed the 16-yard mark in one of those runs. He did it in one run with the Chiefs. Not going to see those stack boxes like he saw with the Jets. They can push the ball down the field. Teams are dropping back in coverage and just telling Andy Reid and company, like, listen, we don't want Mahomes to throw the ball. And Andy Reid saying, fine, we'll just run the football then with some of these guys. So I think he gets to that total. I would go as high as 40. I think he gets 40. I think he finds the end zone. I think that if they're down there near the end, I think Andy Reid just says, hey, listen, we'll let you find the end zone here. So I'm a sucker for that bet. I usually don't come in here with touchdown calls. My record overall, 22-7, I think I've been wrong on two touchdown calls already, so you can fade that one if you want. This is not my favorite prop on the board, these two, but I just have a hunch. I think that Bell has a decent day. So I have Clyde Edwards-Helaire ranked as a top 12 running back, but I think Bell does enough to get that yardage and then to find the end zone. Bringing up the prop board again here, we got A.J. Brown over 65.5 receiving yards, minus 111 over at DraftKings. I think this game flirts with 60 points. I don't think it really needs all that much explaining, but Brown has played three games since returning from injury, and he has four touchdowns and over 60 fantasy points, at least five catches and 58 yards in each of those games. It really only needs one. He only needs one catch, take it to the house. You know, he's a big yak guy. Average depth of target is significant with him. So I like A.J. Brown. I think that, like I said, there's just going to be a lot of points scored in this game and not really sold on this Bengals defense, to say the least. So moving over to the next prop, we got Darren Waller over 56.5 receiving yards. I was going to come in here with the Henry Ruggs one. That one's at 33.5, but it looks like there's going to be a lot of wind in this game. Looks like there's going to be a lot of wind across the board, actually. Saints, Bears, 23-mile-per-hour winds. Titans, Cincinnati, 19. Still not enough to fade your guys. You start everyone there. Vegas and Cleveland, 27 miles per hour. Minnesota, Green Bay, 24. And then New England, Buffalo, 21. So lots of wins. That's not great. It's not ideal. Some of these wins, like Cleveland 27, that could hurt Henry Ruggs just slightly. But I don't think it'll hurt a guy like Darren Waller. He's basically a wide receiver. Let's be honest. He's a slot guy. He's a big body. Catches a lot of passes from Derek Carr, and I just like him in this matchup. I think there's going to be a lot of points, so I think he gets to that number. You can get that minus 111 over at BetMGM. Denzel Mims again, over 3.5 catches. Are you kidding me? This is too low. This is way too low for Crowder and Rashad Perriman. You got to lay some juice here, minus 143, DraftKings Sportsbook. You use that FTN betting prop shop, you can get the best props possible, the best odds across all the sports books. I would go as high. I think Mims catches six passes. I think he catches six passes and gets over 50 yards. George Kittle, over 67.5 receiving yards, minus 111 at DraftKings Sportsbook. You know, last week I said to fade Kittle. We were right on that one. It was just because it was Bill Belichick. It was just an off game for him. New England is great against tight ends, the number one team in the league against tight ends, and Bill Belichick just does a great job of taking away the opposing team's best player. We have a high potential shootout game here. We could see as many as 6 points again in this contest. No Deebo Samuel. I know Sam Fran wants to run the ball, but Russ is going to cook. Going to have to force Shanahan to open up the playbook just a little bit. I think Kittle has himself a big game. So bring up the picks board before we get to some DFS plays. Against the spread, I got the Saints at -4. I jumped on that early in the week. That one could rise. I've seen it in some spots up as 5, but if you use, again, our parlay calculator over at ftnbets.com, you'll get the best odds possible. -4, I'm locked and loaded. I just don't like the Bears offense. I don't think that they can do a whole lot. And as you'll see there, I have the under 43.5. So as I mentioned, Drew Brees, the splits are for real. This is his first game outdoors for the season. Must be nice for 7 weeks playing indoors. But got to go to Chicago. Like their defense. They don't give up a lot through the air. No Michael Thomas. I think the Bears will do a nice job of, you know, there's only so much you can do against Alvin Kamara, but they're pretty good against running backs this year and pretty good against stopping running backs through the air, like bottom 10, I think, in terms of catches allowed to running backs. So I'd like the Saints probably to win this game like maybe 20-10 or 24-14, right at that number. I think that if this spread gets as high as a touchdown, I still feel like you can roll with the Saints here in this spot. The Bills -4, as I said earlier, I just think that they smashed this week. You know, it's tough to count out Bill Belichick, especially after a couple losses. And, you know, I heard some people last week against the Niners. Well, it was a bad loss against the Broncos. You know, Bill Belichick can't count him out. And then he was just awful. This is changing the guard. It really is. The Bills are rolling, and it's always been New England. Brady is gone. Edelman is gone. The offense is non-existent. Stephon Gilmore is not going to play. The defense is not the same. I think the Bills have their way with the Pats. And then I'm on the Steelers +4. You know, if this was 3, maybe I would consider it. Maybe I would consider like Baltimore rather. But as you see there, I just think Pittsburgh wins. I got them +180 on the money line. They're the undefeated team. I know it's really risky going against Harbaugh coming off that bye. I have a lot of respect for the Ravens and what they're doing. I think that both of these teams are Super Bowl contenders. But any time that I can get an undefeated team who can do it on offense and defense at +4 and +180 on the money line, I got to jump on that opportunity. So I'm coming in here with a bit of an upset. I think the Steelers cover. If you don't want to join me on that upset, there is another upset that I like. I think Vegas is the other one, but they're not in my 3 here for the money line. I think the Steelers at +180 is a shot that I'm going to take. I think Seattle at -142. We may have to sweat that out. I think it's going to be a close game against the 49ers, but I just think, you know, what we saw last week with Seattle losing and Russ with a couple picks, I just feel like they're going to bounce back. I think that overall, they're the better football team. As bad as that defense has looked, I just think that they're the better football team and that they'll find a way to win at -142. I have the Rams at -187. I was going to come in here with -3 with the Rams, but I decided to lean with the Bills at the last second, put the Bills in, and then the Rams. I think this is safer than the Rams winning by a field goal. I do feel like this game is going to be tight. This is the Tua debut. I just have a lot of respect for this Rams defense. As you see there, I got the under as well. I think it's going to be a slow-paced game. Both of these teams like to run the football, play at a bit of a slower pace using some of our pace tools over there at ftndaily.com or ftnfantasy.com. You'll see that Miami is a team that likes to slow it down just slightly. And you know, maybe they'll just keep things simple here with Tua, but it's not just Ramsey. They just have a ton of defense, like a ton of defensive players, like a ton that can get after you. And Donald, of course, is one of them. So Aaron is going to be able to get after the quarterback this week. There's no question about that. And I like the Rams. I think this is just a tough spot for Tua, and I like the under. And then Cincy and Tennessee, I've touched on this a couple times, over 52. I think we could get as many as 60 points. So the parlay that I'm going to throw at you is the Saints, Rams, Philadelphia, Tampa Bay at plus 240. You know, if you wanted to drop out the Rams, you weren't really feeling the Rams, you can put in the Chargers there and then you can get better odds. You can go Philly, Saints, Chargers, Rams plus 365, or you can just go Saints, Philly, Rams, Tampa at plus 240. And this is a teaser here that I have, a 5-game, 7-point teaser. You can get it at plus 325. So the Rams plus 3.5, just don't lose by more than a field goal. The Bills plus 3. If they just keep that game tight, maybe the Pats win by 1 or 2, we'll be all right. KC minus 13, bringing it down a little bit. That spread at 20, it's significant, and it's just a little bit too high for me to grab. There's always that threat of the back door. Ugh, I just don't like it. So I think that the Chiefs win this by a couple touchdowns. Then the Saints by plus 2. Like, if the Bears win, they're winning by a point. Like, it's just a lucky game. And then the Steelers plus 11. I think that one's a pretty good one. Even if the Ravens roll, I don't know if they roll by more than 10 points. So that's the picks. Those are the props. Good luck this week. Any questions, hit me up. There's a lot more over at ftnbets.com from a lot of sharper guys than me. Let's be honest. Elliot Chris, got Noah Riddell, and Ryan Noonan. Those guys are legit. Check their show out, To the Window, every Friday evening. And you can watch that over at ftnbets.com. Use that promo code MEANIE. On the way out, I'll just roll through quickly a couple props that I have, or a couple DFS plays that I like at the quarterback position. I don't know if a lot of people will spend up for Patrick Mahomes. I think they feel like game script won't be in his favor and that'll just be run, run, run. Yeah, he could sit in the fourth quarter. If he sits in the fourth quarter, it's because he probably tossed 3 or 4 touchdowns. And I think you could make a case for spending up at the quarterback position, because not a lot of people, there's just so much value, and sometimes it's the ultra contrarian move to spend up at quarterback. Carson Wentz, I like, depending on what contest you're in, the all-day contest or Sunday night contest, whatever it is. Carson Wentz is just in a great spot. Joe Burrow, Ryan Tannehill, Derek Carr, and I like Sam Darnold at 4.8. That's not bad. I know it's Sam Darnold, but you can get him and Mims for like AK, and then you can do wonders with your lineup. So if you're a guy or a girl that likes to play multiple lineups, I think you just try that out. You just flirt with that opportunity and just see what you could get, right? I like Burrow probably the most out of this list. He leads the NFL in passing attempts, end zone throws. He's second in red zone passes, and he's second in air yards. Tennessee doesn't have a great pass rush. They got a weak secondary. They've allowed the 10th most fantasy points to quarterbacks, 25, 21, 18, 32. Those are some of the fantasy point showings that they've allowed so far. A couple of those games to Minshew and Cousins, who are not great quarterbacks. And I stole this from Elliot Chris's article. Over 80% of drives against the Titans have ended in a touchdown, and they've allowed the 4th most air yards to quarterbacks. So teams know that's how you attack them. 9 touchdowns for Joe Burrow so far in the season, but his expected touchdowns at 17.4. That's from my guy, Elliot Chris, in his advanced article. I'll touch on Derek Carr slightly. I like him less because of the win, but I think at the same time, people will come off of him because of the win. The Browns have allowed the 5th most fantasy points to quarterbacks and the 2nd most fantasy points to wide receivers. They've allowed 27, 24, 39, and 34-point showings to quarterbacks last week, 34 to Joe Burrow. Burrow, by the way, using his legs a couple of rushing touchdowns over the past couple of weeks. But for Carr, he's got 4 20-point games himself, and he's faced some very tough defenses along the way. Saints, Bills, Bucks, Patriots. Despite those tough matchups, Carr enters week 8 with a career best 72 completion percentage, 8.2 yards per attempt, and 278 passing yards per game. Quarterbacks I'd fade: Big Ben, Tua, and Breeze. I'm not totally interested in Lamar Jackson. I think people are because they feel like they'll get him low owned. That is intriguing. If you want to pair him up with Marquise Brown, I won't hate it. Love him. Love Derek Brown. Derek Henry, also love him. Kareem Hunt, Jonathan Taylor, Jamal Williams. Obviously, I like Henry. I'm not breaking any news here. I think Henry's in a smash spot against the Bengals. You saw what Hunt was able to do against the Bengals last week. And for Hunt, going to be pretty chalky. I think if you're a cash game player, you can roll with Henry and Hunt or Taylor and just move on, or Williams. Those are the 4 backs I really like. But for Hunt, averaging 21 opportunities over the three games without Nick Chubb, 18 carries, 21 touches, 102 yards last week against the Bengals. This matchup against the Raiders is as good as it gets. Vegas ranks 31st in rush DVOA defense. They've allowed the second most fantasy points to backs. You know, I think the fantasy community is out on Taylor. I feel like they like him, but it's really the Colts. They're not giving him a ton of opportunities. At least 12 carries and 57 rushing yards in five straight games and six catches on seven targets in his last two. I mean, that's okay. It's decent. I just haven't seen that blow up, that smash game yet. It's just been one game where he's done that, but I think it was week two. You know, Detroit, bottom 10 in rush DVOA defense. Alliance have allowed the fifth most fantasy points to backs, 131 rushing yards per game, the seventh most in all of football. We just need 15, 17 carries. I think, you know, off the bye, they'll turn over and Taylor will be a guy that touches the rock, I think, 15 to 17 times in this game. And I don't know if he's going to get, like, yeah, it's a great spot, but I don't know if he's going to be highly owned. I feel like his ownership is going to be lower than what it probably should. I'm fading Connor. I'm fading Jacobs. I'm fading Geo. I'm fading McKinnon. Believe it or not, I'm fading Alvin Kamara. I think it's easier to do on FanDuel, tougher to do on DraftKings with no Michael Thomas. He can catch seven or eight passes, but I just think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I don't see a lot of offense there. And if you're just banking on Kamara to get 100 yards, he has two 100-yard rushing games in his career. Hasn't done it since 2018. Two! He's not that type of back. He can do it, but he's not that type of back. Still Latavius is there, right? If there's no Latavius, maybe, you know, he'd have a more than two 100-yard games, but it is what it is. Henderson, I wanted to give a shout-out because I think he gets a lot of play. I also like his prop over 65 rushing yards. Over to wide receivers, Devontae Adams, A.J. Brown, Tyler Boyd, Henry Ruggs, Brandon Ayuk, Justin Jefferson, Corey Davis, Keenan Allen, DK Metcalf, and Marquise Brown. I already touched on A.J. Brown quite a bit, but I do like him. I think him and Tyler Boyd are in really good spots. I just really want to game stack that game, even though there's a lot of win there. I think still there's going to be a lot of points. My thing with Justin Jefferson is Jair Alexander shadowed Adam Thielen in week one, and Thielen did an okay job against him. I think he's going to be on Thielen again, so it could open up some holes there for Justin Jefferson. Devontae Adams, I don't really like to spend all the way up at wide receiver, especially at his price, but I don't know how the Vikings are going to stop him. He's just unreal. I think you can get by with him, but you'll really have to take some shots with maybe a Ruggs or A.J. Green, Rashard Higgins, John Brown, Jacoby Myers, Kendrick Bourne, Mims. These are guys that are valuable. They're pretty cheap. So, you know, if you wanted to go, you know, hit them high, hit them low kind of deal, you'll have to get the stars and scrubs approach if you want to spend up for a guy like Adams. I don't hate it. I won't completely fade him, but I won't have full exposure to him as well. Over to tight end, Kittle, already touched on him. I think, you know, top 10 in target share, no Debo. Really like Waller. I think if you're spending up, it's Kittle or Waller. I think you fade Kelsey. Waller leads all tight ends with a 27.5 target share. Just I feel like one of the most safest tight ends at the position to spend up for. 56 targets, 40 grabs, tied for first at the tight end position. And I love the matchup against the Browns. Not in on Andrews, not in on Hockenson. You want to do that one lineup with Mahomes. You can know Mahomes and Kelsey and Tyreek Hill. I believe it or not, even though it's up against the Jets, I feel like that'll be a low-owned stack. Defenses, KC, Buffalo, Chargers, and the Saints. And a couple questions here on the way out that I received on the YouTube page and on Twitter. We got one, should I start Rager over Claypool? I'm not there yet, but it's close. It's close to me. But I feel like Claypool, you start Claypool this week, even against the Ravens. I think potentially there could be a pitch count for Jalen Rager. I have him ranked outside the top 40. Claypool, I have. It's like a borderline top 30 wide receiver. How many yards for T.Y. Hilton this week? Asking for a friend. Somebody says under 40 on three touches. My goodness, I have to play T.Y. Hilton in one of my leagues this week. I think against the Lions, I think he gets six catches for 54 yards. That would be a win. Double-digit fantasy points for T.Y. Hilton, that would be a win. If Goddard plays, where would you rank him over Fant? That was a question I was talking about earlier. I would have him over Fant just slightly. I have Fant as a top 10 tight end. I have Goddard as a top 7 tight end. What up with Goddard? There's that question answered as well. I thought I had more than that. That's it. Those are the questions. All right. Mike Davis. There's this question here. What do I do with Mike Davis? I think you're stuck with him now, aren't you? You're probably stuck. He's been a buy low or a sell high candidate, rather, in all of my Wednesday trade articles over at FTNFantasy.com. And I've seen some trades. I tweeted it earlier. These are some of the trades I've seen. Week 4 for Julio. My goodness, that's an awful trade. Great getting Julio. But somebody really desperate to think Julio took a zero or he missed some time. He was banged up. And I guess somebody was just desperate for a win. That's what I'm talking about. You have to just search the people in your league that are desperate for W's. Like, they only have 2 wins. They need a win this week. They can't hang on to Michael Thomas or Christian McCaffrey anymore, or Chris Carson or Miles Sanders. Like, these are guys you should be checking in on. Chris Godwin, check in, especially if you're in a good spot. Davis for Juju week 5. I saw Davis for Moss and Rager week 5. I like that one. Wow. Davis for Edmonds week 6. Whew, somebody was looking into the crystal ball. Davis for Perine. And somebody was laughing at that. I actually like that one. Davis for Perine. Rest of the way, it's probably Perine, unless CMC suffers a setback. But I think CMC returns next week. It's very possible. A couple other trades I saw. Got 2 2022 thirds and a 2022 second in Dynasty for him a couple weeks ago. Okay, just stockpiling. I like that. It's pretty good. One guy says he kept Davis traded Zeke and Galladay for CMC. It's not bad. It's okay. Traded Davis and a 4th rounder next year for Todd Gurley and an 8th. It's not bad. I mean, Gurley gives you a better chance to win now, but he got rid of that 4th. Don't love that one. Got Deontay Johnson for him. Unbelievable. It's crazy. It's crazy. That's why you just need to always see what you can get. You just never know, right? Like Julio, Deontay Johnson. Wow. I would trade him for a DJ Chark. You know, what could you get? Yeah, you just need to first look at teams that are on bye or look at guys that are banged up. You probably can't get a Chris Godwin for him, but maybe you could get Godwin if you go Davis and somebody else, right? Davis and Juju for Godwin. I'd do that. I'd do something like that. That's going to do it. It's going to wrap up episode 7 of Mean Streets. I appreciate everyone for hanging out this long. One more time, rate, review, subscribe. Subscribe to our FTN YouTube page. Smash that like button. Leave a comment, a question. Take a shot at me, Mr. Jeff Garcia. Whatever it is that you want. And I'll get back to you. So good luck week 8. Any questions, you can always hit me up at Chris Meaney. And as well as you're rating and reviewing and subscribing, check out pristineauction.com. Lots of cool stuff to be had over there. Good luck in week 8. Hopefully all the winners are yours. We'll talk to you guys on Monday. Cheers.